When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy B. Wilson.
And we discussed the drama of Thomas Hardy's life this week.
We sure did.
And you told me you have strong feelings about Thomas Hardy.
Yeah, so my entire K through 12 education, from the time we started being assigned homework, I did not do homework. I thought it was a pointless waste of my time.
Yeah, I very rarely did it.
I did have a very long bus ride. And even though I get kind of motion sick in the car, if I sat in the right way on the bus, I could usually get like my math homework done on the bus on the way to school in the morning. So I just didn't, I didn't do it. I was in trouble for not doing homework all the time. However, I read every single reading assignment for like English or literature class because I really enjoyed reading. And the one exception to that in my entire, you know, elementary, middle, and high school career was Tessa the D'Urbervilles, which I started trying to read. And I was like, this is the most boring thing I have ever read in my entire life. I know this is not how literature class happens for a lot of folks, but what would happen was we would read the thing and then we would be given this multiple choice reading comprehension test. And so we were all supposed to read Tess of the D'Urbervilles. We were all supposed to get in like a small group and discuss it. And then we were going to take this multiple choice test. And one person in my small group had read it. The rest of us had not. The rest of us were like,
no,
this was so boring, I could not. And so she basically told us the whole plot of it. And then I took a test that I did so badly on because I had not read the work that when my teacher gave it back to me with this failing grade on it, she looked at me with this just sorrow on her face and said, Tracy, why did you do that? And so, yeah.
And you've hated Thomas Hardy ever since.
Yeah, it's, I could not read it. And so then I was like, am I remembering this right? And so I went to the Project Gutenberg and I opened up Tess of the D'Urbervilles and I read the first 3 or 4 paragraphs. And I was like, yeah, I can see why 10th grade me was like, nope.
Was not here for this. Yeah. I read Jude the Obscure in high school, and my little band of merry men and I, made a video about it as our class project, which was very silly, of course, as one does. And I got to be Arabella and I played it very broadly. But I definitely did not, as I said at the top, have that connection with Hardy. And it, like I said, now as an adult looking at his work, and I've read more of it since, and knowing his life story, I'm like, good Lord, this is all embarrassingly autobiographical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit more about Emma because she's a fascinating figure. And one of the things that I loved, but there wasn't really the right place to put it in here that didn't feel wedged in. It went in and came out like six times while I was working on this. Is that she was writing throughout their marriage. Like, she was still trying to have her literary career, even though he wasn't really supporting it. And one of the things that she wrote that I didn't get the original of, I was reading several papers about her, and one of which quoted several times this particular piece of writing that I love so much, because it's an article in a periodical called The Animal's Friend that she wrote in 1898, and it's like just about kitties. And my favorite part is she has this whole thing about how to pick up a cat to keep it happy, and it's all about being really sweet and treating it as if it were fine china. It's just so charming that she was a cat lady. She had a lot of cats up in the attic. This brings me to my next thing that I found fascinating doing this research, because every biography you read of Thomas Hardy picks a villain in this triangle of people, and they pick different villains depending on the point of view of the author, right?
Sure.
So some of them are very like, Emma was a pain in the neck. Poor Thomas Hardy was saddled with this monster who would openly say that she was from a higher class than him. And like, others will be like, Florence was really the gold digger. She went right after that business and everyone knew that she was trying to lure Hardy. And Emma even does seem to have gotten a bit suspicious eventually of like, wait, why is this woman in our lives so much? And others are like, man, Thomas Hardy just didn't. He was in love with falling in love and he didn't know actually what a relationship was.
Yeah.
And it's very fascinating to look at all of those, because I think the bottom line is right. Like, probably none of them were really, I mean, this is humans, right? Like, we all have foibles and nobody's perfect, but all of them had these idealized views of relationships that no one could live up to. And instead of being like, oh, that's not realistic, they were like, damn it, you didn't fulfill my dreams.
Yeah.
Florence, the least of all. I think she wanted to know Thomas Hardy. She was a fangirl. She got married to him, and that worked out for her.
Yeah.
I think she kind of got the most happy ending of them all. She did. This is another part, though. So the cats. I read one biography that said that Florence got rid of Emma's cats, full stop.
Wow.
And I read another version where it was like, no, Florence actually wrote a letter to a friend about how some of the cats ran away when they didn't have Emma to take care of them. And some of the cats just died of old age and some were killed, it sounded like. And I'm like, what exactly happened with those pets? But we know that the cats were not cared for after Emma passed, which is very sad. But yeah, everybody is a villain depending on whose biography you're reading. It becomes one of those stories that's really important to read multiple different sources.
Right, right.
Because none of them will say the same thing. That was why I selected that piece that we quoted about Emma, because it was really the most fair-handed of any that I came across, where it was like, no, she probably was a pain in the neck sometimes, but she was also really unhappy and miserable, and that was because she wasn't getting any kind of support. So let this be a lesson. Don't be any like these people in your relationships.
Also, you can turn out okay if you never do your homework.
I never did my homework. Yeah, that was very bad.
Thinking on homework has also changed since we were. I see increasing numbers of educators being like, especially in elementary school, it doesn't really serve a purpose. Like the homework that should be done is the work that didn't get done in class because right. like, that's the practice that's needed. But I always was like, I learned this in class and you want me to learn it more home, I guess. I don't know. I would rather be doing literally anything else.
Yeah, I was not a great homework doer. What I have the fondest memories of growing up in terms of schoolwork at home was studying for tests with my dad. Because if I made like flashcards or notes for him, he would quiz me on stuff. And it was the most fun sometimes we ever had. Like I will forever remember us discussing the four kinds of algae at length.
Oh, wow.
And him just laughing at all the different names of algae. And like, that was a really fun time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was not a good homework doer. I coasted a lot. I got pushed through a lot of classes that were advanced, I think, because my best friend was the smartiest smarty pants of Smart Town. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we should keep her happy, which means just keep putting Holly in the classes, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I was lucky enough that I was usually able to do well enough on tests and stuff, having not done my homework, that zero on my homework did not cause me to fail a class.
I never had a zero on a homework. I would have died first. I would literally like throw it together lickety-split, but I would never have done that. However, I do also have a good, it's a mixed in terms of good and bad. Our physics class in high school, I did none of the work before the first test. Mm-hmm. I still don't know how it happened, but I aced that test. And all of my friends who were much smarter than me did not.
Oh, no.
And so then it was like, Holly is the wunderkind of physics. And I was like, I don't know what happened here, y'all. I don't understand any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So the rest of that semester was very difficult for me. But education. Everyone responds to different stuff. That's the trick that nobody knew when we were kids.
Yeah. There's been a whole, we heard a lot about learning styles some years ago. And like, there's some research that like, learning styles are more about preferences than actually whether you are able to learn better. But I do feel like the things I will hear teachers talking about doing with their classes now sounds a lot more engaging and relevant than what was happening in classes that I was in the 1980s and 90s, where it was really like, you are in 10th grade. You're going to read Tess of the D'Urbervilles for some reason. You're going to discuss it in a small group, and then you're going to take a multiple choice reading comprehension test. And that is somehow going to be useful to you.
Right. Right. Well, and I think that's the thing, right? Like, you studied literature in college, as did I. And it's like when you actually start to like really dig in, and like I said, for me, the biographies are the entry point to that, to looking at literature as a lens of humanity, then it becomes much more interesting. But you don't get that when you're younger. And I
know,
or at least we did not. I think now more teachers will introduce that concept, but in a way that's compelling.
Yeah. I also had college experiences where I found the reading so dreadfully boring that I was like, how am I even going to get through this? This is awful. And then when I got into class and our professor talked to us about it, I would realize things that I, as a reader reading by myself in my dorm room, had never seen and was like, oh, this is actually really cool. There are all these layers to this that I did not understand upon reading it. And that was not how my 10th grade literature class with Tess of the D'Urbervilles worked at all.
Oh, Tess. Oh, Thomas Harvey. And the kitties.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
This week on the show, one of the things we talked about was the Women's March on Pretoria, South Africa in 1956, which I stumbled across in some random way and then thought, I want to make that an episode of the show, and discovered one of the things that can be challenging when talking about a topic about something that is that far away from where we physically are, which is the availability of resources. There are various books about this specific thing and the people who are involved with it. A lot of them do not have ebook versions, or if they do have ebook versions, I was not able to find them, and they are not in print beyond South Africa. And in terms of online resources, so, you know, I grew up in the United States. I speak American English. I've read a lot of stuff that was written somewhere in the UK or Ireland. And so familiar with the like stylistic conventions of English in those places, also to some extent Australia. Reading stuff that was about South Africa that was written in South Africa and either in English or translated into English, I kept finding stuff like idioms I'd never encountered before.
Oh, right.
And just sort of general, slightly different stylistic conventions that I just wasn't familiar with. And it was kind of like, wow, this is like just a slightly different flavor of English than the ones I have been immersed in my whole life.
Sometimes it seems like even syntax is a little different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like just the way other cultures will construct a sentence, mm-hmm. will put emphasis in different places than we might naturally yeah. fall into. So it can be a little like kind of tugging apart threads and being like, okay, what is this actually saying?
Yeah.
Even though it is a language we know.
Yeah. So it was it's not the first time that I've done research related to South Africa, but it was the first time that I was really struck by just like a slightly different English usage than I have spent most of my time on. So many of the people who were part of planning that march seem like they have had such fascinating and important lives. And if I can sort of pick away at maybe getting some access to some more international resources. Some of them may return for full episodes on them.
Hooray! Yes, I find more and more lately, I think maybe because we have been doing this show for so long, that it starts to be easier and easier to see threads connecting seemingly disparate things in history sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then when you start following those, you're like, oh, I want to talk about that and that and that and that. And then I end up with a huge whole long list just off of one episode. And then I'm like, am I making cluster episodes? Are these all about things too much together? But this is the peril.
That's why sometimes I'll like intentionally space stuff out. It's also interesting in that most of what we focus on the show is not stuff that you and I lived through in some way.
Right.
Not all the time, most of the time. But like I was in high school and college when apartheid was being dismantled. And, you know, younger than that was, you know, aware enough to remember, like, the boycotts of South Africa and different actors and musicians and other celebrities, like, taking really vocal stands against apartheid and stuff like that. And so it is interesting to then look back on that period from now the perspective of having worked on a history podcast.
Right.
Since whenever, 2013, when we started doing this history podcast.
I 100% learned about apartheid because of Stevie Van Zandt.
Yeah.
Starting Artists United Against Apartheid in the 80s. And like that being really the first time that I was really, I think, exposed to activism on that level of of like being like, oh, people who have a certain degree of privilege because of celebrity can actually leverage that to make statements. That was really the first time I remember being conscious of that going on.
Yeah.
I think I'm trying to now remember when that versus you know, all of Bob Geldof's work was happening, like which was first and which was second, but they're kind of clustered there together. So that's how I learned about activism. Musicians in the 80s.
I did. I had a whole just a pile of YouTube videos that I had as I was going through and corralling sources. I had a whole bunch of YouTube videos that were all naming the Women's March in some way. And a lot of them, when I actually viewed them, were, you know, the recent years' addresses and public commemorations and things like that about the Women's March. And consistently, they all had a message of, we've come so far, and what these women did was so important, but we also still have so far to go, particularly in terms of the rights of women and violence against women and things like that in South Africa. So yeah, it was really interesting to see that really consistent through line through all of these different speeches and newscasts and things like that from within the last few years.
Yeah, well, it becomes a study in resilience, right? Like it can be difficult when your protest or your document that you've assembled or your petition doesn't seem like it's really moved the needle very much. I know I would have a very hard time going, okay, but I'm still going to keep trying, and not going, well, that didn't work. I am always impressed by, not necessarily in the sense of that word, like, oh, I'm so impressed, but just it impresses on me how important it is to really retain commitment to a cause.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't always feel like you're making any progress or getting any wins.
Right, right.
But that's how change happens, is that you don't get deterred by what feel like setbacks or lack of progress.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm glad I stumbled across this reference in some, I don't even remember, some random place. Maybe go, hey, let me look into more about that. Since it's Friday, hope everybody has a good weekend coming up, regardless of what is on your plates. We will be back on Saturday with a Saturday classic and then Monday with a brand new episode. Well, hope you'll stick around for it. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.